welcome to the Beach Business Breakfast Show. This morning we have Adam from Jim's Test and Tag. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, good to meet you.
Excellent. So I'm still a bit wet and wild out there, so we're inside filming, just wrapping up season two over the next couple of weeks, and then being signed for season three. And I'm thinking if we can get to season seven, we might do it in two parts like they did with Mad Men. Well, I thought that was good. They did series 7A and then D, so we might have that. So we'll see how we go. So we're in charge, we can go for as long as we like. We could probably just have a season where we just have one episode, so we end up having like, well, in the season 38,
yeah, right.
The longest running podcast show in the history of Rarotonga Surf Club, which would be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 till 8:30. Get to meet great business people like Adam, us, and people that can generally interested in helping you grow your business, and hopefully you can refer customers to them.
And you brought along a ukulele, which is this just a prop or is that a real thing?
I have no idea.
It's very colourful, which is great. So that's good. So Adam, so Jim's Test and Tag, so tell us a bit about what they've done and what sort of led you into that field endeavour.
Yeah, right. So I grew up in Newcastle,
spent
21 years here, then I moved around. Spent a little time in Northern Territory, worked for government up there, then eventually I met my wife in Northern Territory and she dragged me to Queensland, kicking and screaming. So whilst we were there, that's where I did my trade as an electrical lineman, working for the power authority there. Working there, it just gave me a bit of a thorough understanding of electricity and the safety aspects of it, obviously working on live electricity every day.
So you like a lineman county, like a
Glen
Campbell song?
Glen Campbell song. If I knew how to play that, I'd get the eagle out of it.
That's great.
So if someone's power fails and you're out there, like that type of thing.
I used to do a lot of that, you see a lot of emergency responsibility.
Tree falls over and you're out there putting your power lines up.
That's right. So that was my game for a little bit, and I learned a lot of skills there. And obviously, because we worked on live HV and LV wires up there, it became pretty important to understand the safety of my electricity and that sort of thing.
You
do the wrong
very
thing.
Very easily can die if you don't do the right thing, right? Like,
that's
pretty
right.
Serious.
That's
so
right.
You did electrical training?
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Who was that
for? So that was Energex in Queensland.
Okay, yep.
That's where I do my trade. And then from there, I eventually convinced my wife Tina to come back to Newcastle, which is the place to be.
So is she Queensland?
Yeah, she's Queensland.
So does she support State of Origin,
she does when she's in New South Wales,
yeah.
But then when she's in Queensland, she supports New South Wales just as to shit.
Oh, okay,
that's
cool. It's always a tension between couples when there's a Queenslander and someone New South Wales.
A few times a year,
especially because they're winning all the time, which is
not fun at the moment.
So, Northern Territory, where did you live up there or about?
So, I lived for a little while in Darwin and then spent some time in Alice Springs.
Okay.
That was a very exciting experience up there. But,
a couple of years, just over two and a half years.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then, so you moved back, did you move back to Newcastle to start the business you're in now, or did you move back?
I moved back and I was contracting for Osgood for a little while, worked for a company in Medford. And then eventually took it on to start up my own business, which is,
A hard decision or something you wanted to do for a long time?
That's something I wanted to do for a long time. I've always wanted to work for myself.
And when did you start that?
Just about 2 years ago now.
Where'd you find your customers? Woke up one day and started doing letterbox drops, or what did you do?
It's been hard to try and get customers' bases because, it's only 2 years, so it's still building.
Yeah.
But the first 12 months were probably the hardest trying to getting clients and that, but it's really since we've got into networking, it's been the best way to be trying to find clients.
Because it's one of the newer parts of the gyms group, right? So you're not getting a huge flow of referrals, I guess, from it.
Surprisingly, it's been around for 13 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but with most of the gyms being there in Melbourne. We're not very well known up here in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Better known in Sydney, but still not very well known in New South Wales.
But you really had to get out and do something on the market. You couldn't rely on a sort of speed of clients coming.
That's right, it's very much so. Yeah, there's not a lot of work that comes through the gym system, but there's enough to just keep you out of trouble.
So,
over 40 divisions.
Oh, okay.
They have everything you've got accountants.
Have
you read the book that Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah.
It's quite a kind of partnership model. It's like finding a really successful person, business, holding it and expand. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
And that's virtually how the Disentag worked. There was a small company in Victoria that wanted to expand, and they approached Jim. And
it's pretty smart, actually. It's sort of like they're the back of house kind of infrastructure for the business expansion and processes and things. And then you have like a pre-existing successful person that already knows kind of what they're doing. I'm pretty sure that's how the conveyancing started, for example. But it's more than just testing the tag, isn't it? So you're out there checking fire extinguishers.
Yeah, so we virtually do all work with all the safety. So we do fire extinguishers, exit lighting, evacuation plans, first aid kits, we supply, maintain them, all that sort of work.
So with the test and tag, how many of them are around the house?
A lot of people doing it. But the difference, I suppose, between them and myself is that the gym group's the only group that has ISO 9001 accreditation.
Oh, okay.
So you're fully like electrical layer 2 kind of qualified or whatever, kind of works out. Whereas, not that it's... I've done a test and tag course. It's a one-day course, which then qualifies you to like plug things into the test, and go, this seems safe. Not that that's an endorsement of the course isn't hard enough or anything, but you don't have to be an electrician to do this work, which I guess gives you a different perspective on the importance of that safety environment.
Yeah, and that is an issue for me as well with competition, but there are a lot of guys like yourself who've gone out there and done a course.
It's not a big barrier to entry, I guess.
Exactly right. And that's where it is hard, because then I have to compete against those sort of people, and it can be hard to try and say, well, you can get this guy who's done his one-day course, or you can get someone who's actually spent a lot of time in the electrical industry and knows what he's talking about.
So you get your leads from network events. A lot of referrals, of course. You get referrals.
Yeah, you got a lot of referrals from previous clients.
Do you do much like advertising?
A lot of that is kept in-house in the gym's group, so they do a lot of that for us.
Yeah, trucks are branded.
Yeah, stuff is in the van. There's a few of us actually in Newcastle now. There's now five of us running around Newcastle.
Yeah.
So
people will start to associate the brand with the service, that kind of thing. They'll see this moving billboard often enough to go, Jim's test and tag, that's a thing.
Getting that up there. Yeah. So
who were some of the you could refer partners? Like, do you have real estate agents, or do you have...
A bit of a mix, because we're not really stuck in any one section, because we do real estate agents, we do smoke alarms with them as well, and things like that as well. So it's a big mixed bag, really. Tradesmen, everyone is a potential client, so it's easy to get referred from anyone.
Yeah. So do you do like social media? Do you do, as Jeremy mentioned, letterbox drops, or do you guys like the ad? What sort of advertising do gyms do for you guys?
It's mainly web-based, they do for us. And as you said, there's the van that goes driving around. I do a bit of social networking myself with a Facebook page and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, I just try a little bit there.
Yeah. Most of the businesses that we do work for,
generally.
Typically, we should get our own appliances at home tested and tagged. I don't see that happen very often.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because just yesterday, I don't know if anyone saw the news yesterday, but... in Brisbane, they actually had a fire that started because of a battery charger in a house.
Yeah.
The whole house went up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think the writing's on the wall for that? We'll start having
I severely doubt that they'll get to that point, especially in New South Wales, because New South Wales is very relaxed on the laws like that compared to other states.
Do you think there's a potential implication, though, for, say, landlords and things? So, you could come to a point where... making sure is that a thing where you've got to make sure your house has working smoke alarms and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it is. In other states, it's mandatory that they must be inspected by someone qualified every year.
So in Queensland? Just your own, or just if you are...
A rental property,
Because obviously, as a tenant, you're not necessarily expected to be responsible for those things.
And it's not also something you think about, because you think it's not my house.
Yeah.
I know a lot of big mortgage brokers. We do, shameless plug there. The like with real estate, people buying houses, it used to be, you know, you just write a building inspection, and then now we have a building and pest inspection, and now happening more because people buying houses 80 or 100 years old, they're starting with a plumbing inspection and some of them electrical inspection. Do you guys do electrical inspections on places?
No, we don't do that sort of thing. Yeah. Fortunately, it's probably just a little bit outside our skill set.
Not necessarily out of yours, but
yeah.
the one day calls people differently.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's one of those things to be done by a qualified electrician, so you've got got them signing off on it.
Yeah.
That's right. So, but we can do workplace health and safety audits, which will do those sort of things. But we also do another thing with our business is we must do an EFI test before we conduct our test and tag. So an EFI test is earth fault loop impedance test. And so what that actually does is it checks the quality of the earth from any power point of the property out to the closest transformer. So, you know, the big office on the poles.
Yeah.
So
does that just involve you shorting the power and making sea level trips?
That's an RCD test, or a safety test. So that's another test. And that's what I do when I do the residential properties. I always do an RCD and an EFI test as well as my smoke alarm test.
So how's the EFI test work? You plug something in and go and see if it's earth in the ground?
Yeah, so there's a unit we use that it actually does everything for itself. It's designed specifically for this very expensive unit, and that's all it does is checks earth fault loop impedance, and so it'll send out a reading.
So the pole will signal out through the earth in the building and see if there's any failure points or something.
So it'll just check for the resistance, and it will give you a reading, and that reading is what you have for your building. And so if it exceeds 1 ohm, then it's not a very good and it'll get something done.
Yeah, right.
So it's just a requirement. That's part of our ISO accreditation that we must have.
Don't give them a zap when they touch the bathroom taps or something.
Yeah. That sort of thing, so. And that's something too, like obviously you don't know much about it because it's not really covered in the 1 day calls.
Yeah.
And it's not part of the mandatory requirements for test and tag.
No. Yeah.
But if you don't actually do an EFI test, you're not necessarily going to get an accurate result with your tester. So it's just little things like that.
So say a building, like a company, you go and do their test and tag. What's the process like? What do you actually do? Do you have a machine and you plug the...
Yeah, so I've got a little, that's a pad tester, they call it.
Yeah.
The one we use is a Seawood random one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty high tech one we've got. It's like a little iPhone almost, because it's got a bright LED screen and it's got everything on it. There's a lot of the other ones are all dot matrix sort of thing, but ours is pretty high tech. We'll start with an EFI test, make sure that the property's safety to actually test off and everything's fine. And from there, we'll just test every item. It goes through a whole series of tests.
Extension leads, power boards.
And
test the power points themselves, or is that
That's part of the EFI test. That will test the power point. But we also do a glaring test as well on the outlet, just to ensure that they are right way around. Often come across them and they're not surprising. A major business in Newcastle. I was actually there, so I put plug in one of theirs and I just...
Obviously, if you're running a light bulb, that's not going to matter, but what are the implications of that if you plug in a transformer for a computer or a microwave or something? Is it going to blow up? Or?
Well, there's lots of issues that can be encountered, anything with a motor in it can cause the motor to run backwards.
Yes.
But there's other issues too, because if there's reverse polarity, you're actually engaged, so instead of the active being the live one, when it gets to the switch on that unit, that's where you isolate that active wire.
Yep.
Whereas if it's going through the neutral, the potential that it could be going straight through and the whole unit will be live, and it's when you turn that switch on that it will do the it won't actually isolate the neutral ever, if that makes sense. So you can potentially always have that unit that's leaning live, even though it might be turned off, it might still be live.
Necessarily
realise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Wow, that's
just
don't even know that's probably
going to
happen, but I guess it's just too wide, it's going the wrong hole, right? So people,
more or less,
humans make mistakes. So.
Yeah, that happens. And extension leads often find with people who put their own custom plug on the end of it or something like that.
Nine
times out of ten,
it's
the wrong way around.
Yeah. So you check all the gadgets?
Yeah.
All that, and then you give people a report?
With the gym script, we do a full asset register.
Yeah.
So that'll include the asset description, so whether it be a toaster, a brand, so Canberra, and then you'll have a model number and a serial number as well. for every single one.
It gets an ID and a sticker. And
yeah, it gets its own unique ID.
And they get a tag if it's tested well, and what happens if it hasn't tested well?
Yeah, so they might actually get a danger tag.
Cut the cable off and take it a bit.
Yeah, it depends on who you're dealing with. Sometimes they won't be too impressed if you do that. Especially if it's like a multi-million dollar machine or something, they might not be too impressed. But yeah, if it's just something small or something fancy, something gets, cut off, chuck it away. So we get that asset ID, asset list that we make up, and then we also have a test results page we make up as well. And that'll actually have every single test that was conducted, and the results of every one of those tests for each one of those items.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a, is it a yearly thing that people are required to do?
It depends on the business.
In the high risk ones, it is, isn't it? So if you're in a factory or where, like some riskier type business, it is yearly, isn't it?
It's more frequently actually if it's in like a workshop or warehouse, something that needs to be 6 monthly. But then it depends on the sort of work. Like if it's like even more hazardous than a normal workshop, it's like it's just a, I can't think of anything off the top of my head at the moment, but depending on the type of place, it can really.
Yeah, like if you've got welding and things going on, whatever. Yeah. Whereas in an office, it's like 5 years or something, kind of, plus just keeping.
Well, that's the maximum amount of time. That should be done. So it just depends on the office. When you read the standard, it actually says, provided that there's not, the description of a hazardous environment is anywhere where dust or flexing of the cord can occur. So that's
right. Yeah. And the big thing I picked up from doing it, which it was mainly just having something interesting to do one weekend, most of it is not just leaving things like, if a power board's got some wires exposed, chuck it out. Or if like an extension cable looks like it's been a bit squashed and run out by a chair or something, just get rid of it. Like don't bother. Like even testing is fine, but really a big part of just like if something looks like it could be dangerous, just replace it.
Well, that's the thing. That's the biggest thing. The major thing is the visual. That's the biggest part of the whole test.
Like if a power board looks like it's got little burn marks on it, then it's time to get rid of it.
Exactly right.
Don't need to run the test. It's not.
Yeah.
We know it's the same goes with the like rental properties and that sort of thing, where it does become
kind of harmonised, that the standards or something like that.
You've got to have electricals tested, that sort of stuff.
I can see that it makes sense because you're potentially, I guess it's where the responsibility falls, right? Like if it's your own house and your kettle blows up and you have a fire in the kitchen, you've kind of just got yourself to blame, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe you can offset that to the insurance company, but if you provide the appliance on the house, then you were then maybe kind of responsible for it in a sense, aren't you?
Well, and that's how it works in the business. So it's surprising it doesn't work that way in a household. And I'm sure surprised insurance companies haven't gone down that path yet.
It's probably a matter of time.
Well, they probably do, we just haven't heard of it. I don't know. But
do you think they might want to do that? But if you get this inspection done and you're
reduce your premiums.
Yeah, reduce your premiums, that sort of stuff.
Perhaps the incidence of problems is not high enough to be a big issue. Like you said, that was a house fire, but the number of times that it happens is not frequent enough to be like a major kind of like political issue or something, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I guess like the pool thing, right? Like you have to decide what you're going to do with your pool fence.
Yeah.
Well, that happens because so many people drown that they're like, well, we have to do something about this because
that's
it
right.
keeps happening.
Yeah.
But if nobody was hurting themselves in pools and no kids drowned, there would be no pool fences. Because it wouldn't be an issue.
That's right.
I guess that's just there's a tipping point somewhere, isn't
there? Yeah, so just want to wait for someone to die, actually.
It's unfortunate.
It is. That's the world we live in.
But that's where, you can, and I guess that, and the naysayer would say, well, you can't protect against every risk.
Yeah.
And there is a point where you've got to go, what's the benefit of this? And in a business, if you're working in, like, let's say, sort of hazardous environment, chances of something going wrong are higher.
That's right.
So it's worth protecting these because you know that stuff will go wrong more often if you don't.
And that's why, like in the construction industry, for example, it's a minimum requirement that's actually run full of a different standard.
Yeah.
So the normal standard is 3760 that we work under, but the standard for construction site is 3021. And under that one, you must get done a minimum every 3 months.
Yeah.
Some places, like a lot of mine sites, will get one done monthly.
Yeah.
So
it's different. If you're if you've got a let's just say it's a power drill. Plugs into the power, not a battery. If you're on a construction site, it could be left in the rain, it's dirty, there's dust, all sorts of stuff. things will go wrong. If you're in a mine site, it's getting full of coal dust and things are going even faster.
Yeah.
If it's the drill at home that you pick out once every 3 months to like put a hole in the wall,
yeah.
I mean, the chances of it failing is probably more likely just to stop working one day than
right.
actually fail catastrophically in electrical, I suppose. So it's,
yeah.
the environment's important.
Yeah, that's right.
So good. With gyms, the marketing support paper
yeah.
line, so they'll do webs. What sort of web stuff do they do? Are they just doing like?
They do a little bit with Facebook and a little bit
yeah.
with LinkedIn, and but mainly they focus on the internet. Yeah.
yeah,
AdWords, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
trying to drive people to call you.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Does that give you like a business mentoring kind of role as well? Like is it just a technical support, or you have like catch up group training type?
Yeah, we have a
business coaching type aspect to it.
Yep. Yeah, every. I think it's a minimum of 8 times a year we'll meet up. It's generally more like monthly we meet up. The local guys, we all meet up together.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often we'll meet up with the guys in Sydney or other guys from the state.
Yeah.
And frequently we'll have someone, one of the divisional franchise, or will actually come out as well and,
yeah.
and meet up with us. And we'll, in that time, we'll go through a mock test and just hit you up on a couple of questions that
yeah.
you might not have thought about, like you know, the minimum size cabling for... you know, a construction site or you know,
mm-hmm.
a length of an extension lead, the longest one you can use, something like that. There's things that you might not
yeah.
do
sure
about that.
Extension? Is it 30
meters? It depends on the site. Like,
okay.
Yeah,
it's always depends.
Yeah, yeah. It is, and it all goes back to standards, and that's the thing.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so all those little things like that, they just push you on, and you know, the insulation resistance and stuff like what it
so
should
you
be.
Get to share some knowledge between your other franchisees.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, well, I know like, the other franchisees in Newcastle. I ring them almost daily.
Yeah,
yeah, we all have it. We get along very well. So
yeah, it's quite good because in a if you'd set your own business up completely separately, it would be hard to do that.
And that's right.
Because they'd be your competitors.
That's right. Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, what's he up to? Like if you rang up Fred's electrical tag and testing, you're like, oh, hey Fred, do you want to like catch up for a coffee? You'd
yeah.
be like, oh,
what do you
want
to
like?
What are you trying to get from?
Yeah.
Here?
What is it you're trying to get?
So
get all your secrets.
How does it work? Do you guys have like?
We do, yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
my territory is actually Thornton, Beresfield,
yeah.
Tomago, that's sort of a little
yeah,
range there.
Good industrial
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
yeah,
that's it, yeah.
yeah.
That's it. I was the first person to buy a Newcastle, so I think I was the first.
That's a good choice.
Speaking
so
of literates.
Can you do work outside that territory? Or?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's no limitations, really.
Mm-hmm.
The only limitations is advertising. Like
yeah.
One of the other franchisees, he owns Mayfield, Carrington, that sort of area.
Yeah.
And so I can't actually go in his area and knock on doors and
yeah.
say, here's
so
my
car. So if leads come through gyms and then Mayfield, I'll go to him.
Yep.
If they're Beresfield, I'll go to him.
That's right, yeah.
You're not supposed to go like stick in the fridge magnets into the collect boxes in Mayfield.
That's exactly right. So I can't actually mark in his territory and he can't in mine.
Yeah.
And that's fair, there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with that at all.
Well, and if the area is big enough, which like Thornton, Rutherford, like that's there's a lot of businesses in that area, you shouldn't need to. Like,
no, that's right.
I mean, if your area was, like, I don't know, like if your area was
Charlestown,
yeah, like one little suburb or something, it's all houses and there's two businesses in it, then fair enough, that'd be not ideal. But if your area is big enough and not businesses in it, it shouldn't. You won't have time to go and
yeah.
worry about someone else's region or something.
And that's right. But in saying that, it's also it's accepted that. That if I, like say for example, if you had a shop in Mayfield, and I know you through this networking event, if you were to come up to me and say, oh, look, I'm going to come and do my stuff, there's no problem with me going and doing that.
No, yeah.
It's because I haven't actively gone out there and pestered you and given you
yeah.
cards at Mayfield or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
therefore, it's fine for me to go and
yeah.
do that work for you. I'm not breaking any rules. Or,
yeah. No, it's been
so,
sexual,
but,
yeah,
so, but in saying that, I would give Rob a call and I'd say, look, mate.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine, Jeremy, he just asked me if I can go and do his work. It's on Maitland Road,
yeah.
whatever. Can I go and do
that? Generally, there's a bit of sharing, you know, because you might not want to drive from Thornton to,
yeah.
like, yeah, to be married or something anyway. Like,
that's it.
It's not efficient for you to do that. You're potentially better off saying, look, you know, Rob, whatever his name was, come, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And you sort of, you know, give him a job, so to speak, and it's like, well, maybe eventually it'll come back the other way, I suppose.
Yeah, and it does too, and we do help each other out, things like that. Like we have a couple of
bigger jobs or something.
Yeah, some of the bigger jobs we'll actually get each other in to give each other a hand.
Yeah,
yeah so it does work very well on that as well. Like
yeah.
it gives you that bit of camaraderie.
Yeah.
yeah, some days can be a bit lonely out there doing
yeah.
stuff on your own. So
yeah.
you can
I
get
think
that.
That's a beauty of networking events as well, you know, you
yeah.
get to meet other business people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of talks amongst test and tag, I imagine, after a while.
That's right.
Yeah, so oh, that's fantastic. So, yeah, so just with the Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, we meet great business people like Adam, and you know, growing his business and trying to get customers like we all are. And yeah, so thanks for coming in and bringing you ukulele and all the sun, which is good. So, we'll see you all next time.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you.